Now, before we begin, I just want to get into this slight precursor as we go into this next episode. The conversations that I have, especially with guests, are raw conversations. And there's going to be times where I'm not well-versed in a topic, but I think it's important to still have these discussions. Now, as I go into the future with this podcast, I want to ensure that I go into a topic knowing as much as I can know and bringing in multiple resources to be well versed in a subject. Now there are multiple subcategories that my guest Kyle and I jump into that weren't rehearsed, weren't scripted, and were honestly unprepared for. This is an experience where we're kind of learning as we go. And I want to be clear that the things that I might say or do say can sometimes come across as uneducated, hence the name of the show. But I truly hope that you enjoy this episode and realize that I'm trying my best to get better and I'm taking criticism as it comes, and hopefully we can all kind of grow from this experience. Thank you and enjoy this next episode of The Uneducated Goon. This is Uneducated Goon, episode 2, with John Buteau. Now, where our country is going is somewhat a difficult of two paths. We are stuck with a free society as of right now. But if you ask the population if they could deal with the consequences of a free society and somewhat cook the questions in a way that brings light to how many things that are wrong in our society, they'd probably say no. And people seem to be looking for more control. And not their own control of their own destiny and their own lives, but bring in kind of an outside source of what we call the government. So I brought a good friend in on this little experiment that I'm doing with the podcast. His name is Kyle Kate. And we are going to be speaking on this subject and kind of the dichotomies that come with not only a free society, but with a very controlled and somewhat totalitarianistic society.
So, I love it. I'm not an expert, but I think it's an interesting discussion point that probably gets glazed over. Most people don't even think about it. But especially September 11th being 2 days ago, you know,
brings absolutely a
lot of freedom and a lot of thought with that, especially because you and I lived through that. You know, every generation has their own moment where they're able to visualize themselves in some kind of situation like September 11th, and for us, it was that.
Yeah.
We could see the direct results, specifically with airline travel, you know, of consequences of a free society. How far are we going to let TSA go? How far are we going to let them go to make sure we're safe, or how free do we want to be? You know, how much risk are we able, are we willing to let ourselves have?
Oh, absolutely. And I was talking to my history class about this because when September 11th came, I was asked to take a brief moment, speak on it, because these kids weren't born yet.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, and it's...
What grade are they?
They're juniors in high school.
No way.
And they're about to be adults.
Wow. And they weren't born yet.
Some of them were born that year.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a little old.
And then talking to them about it, they see it as an historic moment.
Yeah.
And I was kind of asked to put a positive light on 9/11. And
to wait, me, who asked you to put a positive light on it?
Well, bring the good out of it. And
okay.
Bring what good we can grab from it. But I'll be honest, anytime I look at that, I'm just angry. It just makes
for sure
me extremely angry. And as somebody who served, you know, that's why a lot of us served in this generation. And with these kids, all they see it is just this event.
It's history.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't see the consequences that came from that with the airline.
Yeah, because it's just what they know.
Yeah, it's just what they know.
Yeah.
They don't realize how much left and right lateral limits that we had with freedom as far as travel.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, to be honest, though, too, I don't remember a time without TSA, right? I wasn't old enough, even though I remember 9/11, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't remember going to the airport without TSA. But I remember, it was close enough that I remember stories, or, you know, you hear stories about it and everything. But you've definitely seen the progression of things like that with Homeland Security and increased just security at all kinds of events for that reason and other reasons, but yeah.
And not only that, but what came out of the, was it the Freedom Act?
And how many people really know what's packed in the Freedom Act?
And I don't, and I feel like I should. I feel like I should definitely like look into something like that, because I don't know how much access the government has into me.
Oh man, that's a good discussion.
And
you know, there's some people that say September 11 was just to start the Freedom Act. Is it the Freedom Act or the Patriot Act?
The Patriot Act.
Patriot.
That's what it is.
See, we don't even know
it. Yeah, and that's sad.
We're both to blame here. Okay.
But the real question is should we start taking those things back?
But we got to know them before we can say whether we should take them back or not.
And you're right. And that's what makes an educated population so pivotal in our republic.
You're right, but I feel so bad right now because I don't even know about it, and I'm saying we need to know about it.
Yeah, we're going into this preaching for a free society, and because that's what I'm going for, is for a free society, and I don't even know what measures the government has against my privacy, you know? And that's in the Constitution as far as, you know, the freedom to privacy.
Right.
But how far does a patriot
You know what we are right now? Go?
What?
Hypocrites.
Hypocrites.
Straight up hypocrites.
Absolutely.
We're the definition of a hypocrite right now. Okay, but that aside,
yeah, so yeah. You're preaching, we'll just cancel that out, not even look at it.
You're preaching for a free society. That's, I have nothing wrong with that, but why do you preach that? Do you think we can handle that?
As a culture right now, no. No, okay, so we'll just go to the most basic form, or not the basic form, the most basic examples that you see in our society, which would be these mass shootings. Okay. Every time a mass shooting happens, you are asking for more gun control, more this, more regulation. And
okay.
And I'm not going to be the guy that's going to preach to you like, oh, that's not going to solve the problem. Oh, that's, oh, it's not the guns. You know, I'm not this big conservative Republican voice that just wants to scream against the Democrats. I'm saying that these problems may not go anywhere.
Okay.
And with a free society, you have to be able to accept the fact that there are going to be people who hate you, who are going to find a way to kill you in mass. Now, there's some solutions that you can bring to this, but there's not a end-all be-all, including legislation.
Right.
Because as much as we don't know how far the Patriot Act goes.
Right.
So what about this next piece of legislation that could bring back our freedoms as far as the Second Amendment? How far does that go? Does it go into things like wiretaps and tapping into your phones and... Because a lot of it has to deal with mental health. Who's going to decide whether or not you're mentally healthy enough to own a gun?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Exactly.
No,
who's
going to
make that decision? And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not huge on the conservative agenda.
Okay.
I'm huge on the fact that our society was built to be free.
Right.
And if we can't handle that anymore, that's fine. You know what? Vote a totalitarian in. Vote somebody that's going to make all those changes like Bernie Sanders or Beto O'Rourke or whoever. Fine.
Are you okay with that?
I'm not okay with that.
Okay, fair, fair. But you're saying if that's what you want, that's what you need to do.
Then that's what you need to do.
Okay,
that's
what I follow. I follow.
But you have to understand the consequences that come with that as well.
For sure. So how do you educate people, though, to know what those consequences are? Because, like you and I, we don't even know what's in the Patriot Act.
I mean, it starts in school. And
okay.
It starts with good teachers, man. And it starts with good parents.
Is that why you're a teacher?
Absolutely. I'm not there to preach an agenda. I'm really an unbiased source of information. Like, there are a lot of things left that I like that people will disagree with me, like universal healthcare. People completely disagree with me, but I have my own beliefs and that's okay. A lot of the things that come from the right. And so when I bring information to these kids, I don't have a political perception. I have an historic perception. And if those perceptions from people who wrote the history down are political, then I'll give that to them as well. But you should also be able to bring forth multiple different avenues of approach. Like just this last week, we talked about Cortez and how he invaded Central America and going into there. And first of all, he didn't just conquer the Aztec Empire with a couple hundred conquistadors. He had a 1,000-strong army of Mayans that came with him. And then when he took down the Aztec capital, he had 200,000 of Aztec enemies that wanted to do this.
That's crazy.
And then you also think, oh, Europe's so bad for going in and invading and killing all these people. Colonization was big during that time. Spain and Portugal were discovering it. And for Cortez to walk into a city where people were kidnapping people from other villages, bringing them in, slitting them open, and pulling out their hearts to sacrifice them to the gods... And they just got done with an 800-year crusade against the Muslims with the Moors as far as southern Spain and all throughout Spain. This is huge.
That's incredible.
It's the next step to their crusade. It was their next crusade. It was their next holy war. So who's the bad guy?
Oh, man. And just those numbers, though. I mean, we don't see situations like that right now. They're different.
And is there a bad guy?
Oh,
or
man.
Is it history? Is it history just moving? Because not only did Churchill mention this, but multiple people mentioned this during World War I. Like, sometimes history will just pull you. No matter what way you're trying to go with things, history just kind of seems to pull the events together. And I personally think that driving force is God, but I'm not saying that God did the whole Holocaust thing. It's hard. It's a difficult subject. And that's what I go in there with teaching these kids, is there's multiple different avenues of approach to look at this and to see where these people were coming from and to get to know these people instead of stamping them in history as just the bad guy. Or just like the U.S. during, like, if you look at our history through from 1950 to now, you stamp the U.S. as the good guy.
Oh, yeah,
and
for
I think that's
history.
A load of crap, too. and I think that's a load of garbage, too. Like, you need to be able to face what you've done wrong. And you need to be able to move on from it after you face it.
So how do you discern? Obviously, you have to bring intel in. You're teaching, you're bringing intel to these kids. How do you discern the right way to interpret history? Because history was written by the winners, right?
Right.
The U.S. right now, you take U.S. history, we were always on the right side. Vietnam, I think, would be one example where there's a lot of people who say, okay, wait, hold on, that wasn't right. And would you say that's partly because we had way more content coming out of that war? You know, we have cameras now, we have a lot more. I guess towards the end of World War II, you did too. But Vietnam, you really had more proof to bring back and let masses distill that information. You know what I mean? So how do you go in and into a class, present the information, and help them find what was true history, not what the winner wrote down?
You make everybody look like garbage. and that's a complete and honest truth. In order to appease everybody's little bias that they have in their minds and that everybody's little prejudice, you paint everybody like garbage.
Interesting.
Everybody was the bad guy. Because when you're looking at war and you ask any combat veteran this, war's not a fun place to be, and it's a horrible thing, okay? So who's the good guy? Everybody's looking for a good guy. Everybody's looking for a moral right. But if you just paint everybody like crap and realize that there are individuals in the story that can rise above and be better,
then
you can start understanding what a free society looks like. And you can start understanding the benefits of a free society. Because we birthed that here in America. We have people like you and me and blue-collared men and white-collared men that are individuals that rise up for themselves, from themselves, for their family, and for their community around them and make good out of it. out of really bad situations where everybody's kind of the bad guy.
I like that. That's a good perspective. That's a good way to pull the intel in and then disseminate, right? You know.
Yeah.
Try and find it. I mean, we're not truly going to know.
Yeah, and you would, I feel like you should initiate like that. You should initiate making everybody look bad and then start pulling the good from it. You know, that's how I like to do things.
That's an interesting... I'll have to paint that perspective on some history stories. And yeah, I like that, though.
Yeah, set the expectation really low.
Okay, so back to the free society. If you don't think we can handle it, and we're kind of at a crossroads here, what you and I would say is a crossroads, what do you think the step forward is?
The step forward is... this is kind of looking into the eyes of... looking through the eyes of, I guess, somebody who doesn't want a free society, right? So their next step forward is all these pieces of legislation that they're trying to pass.
Control.
And pass them.
Control.
And,
government
and
control.
Give control.
Yeah.
The first one, and honestly, you can look and see how any left-leaning or right, left fringe or right fringe dictator did this. You take away people's right to speak, and then you take people's right to defend themselves.
Hmm.
And...
is it kind of like a 1-2 punch? Like, or
yeah.
Is it a
you can't have one. You can't have one without the other.
Okay.
Honestly.
Okay.
Because it'll fail.
Gotcha.
Because somebody will rise up, you know? But as soon as those two things are generally gone, you have an enslaved populace. And for some people, that's not so much a horrible thing. If you look at the culture in Iraq, for us to just, you know, schwack Saddam and then try to put democracy in there, that wasn't going to work. You know, democracy was not going to work in Iraq. And we thought it was. Everybody wants to be like America. No, they needed the dictator. They needed the king. They needed
no
somebody.
Kid. Okay, and are you saying that because of what situation are you seeing that says that that's what they needed? Like their religious
not only their religious alignment, because you had, you know, the Sunnis and the Shiites, but you also have a culture already based around that.
Gotcha.
One leader. And
so that was such a drastic change for them.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
You know, because too much freedom, you know, it just turns into anarchy.
That's a crazy thought.
Isn't it? Yeah.
That's
so
a crazy thought.
There needs to be some sort of restrictions.
Okay.
And people on the far, I wouldn't even know if I call it the far right. It's just a fringe of anarchy, which it doesn't really align. I guess it aligns with libertarians, but that's for some reason what they want. But if you don't have those restrictions there, we're too populated and too concentrated in places for there to be anarchy. If this was the Wild West and things were a lot more spread out, then yeah, how else are you going to govern?
Ooh. Okay, so that brings a really good, at least what I think is a good question. Are we going to need more control just because of the population growth? Like, if this was the Wild West and there was a hundredth of the population that there is now, could we have more freedom? Or is it because of population growth, there needs to be a growth, too, in legislation and laws? And
That's interesting. I haven't thought about that. But to come back with an answer, I would say you'd have to have a state kind of mentality with this kind of legislation. Like, if you want to give it to the states, I think that's where that would start. But okay. you have an interesting... So, California.
Yeah.
Highly,
California.
Let's talk about that. Garbage. But California.
I'd say you have a bias already.
That is one of my biases. I don't like California. I think it smells and it's awful. And just like as a state, I've trained there.
Maybe that's the problem, though, is the view you've been given of California.
there's some pretty places.
You're at 29 Palms, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
See, that's your view of California. That's a little bit off.
I've been to San Diego, but it was literally only for infantry training. And they kicked me out.
You need to try California out at least one more time.
Maybe.
Don't go to 29 Palms this time. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
If you look at the population concentration there,
yeah,
And they, I guess they need that control because it's just getting horrible. It's turning into a dump. And how do you do that without a single government telling them what to do?
Hmm.
Or do you, I don't even know. I honestly don't. It honestly feels like you need that control there. What do you think?
I feel like I really need to educate myself before I'd have too much of an opinion. But I start thinking, like, okay, it's easy to pin it on California, right? And be like, oh, they're their fault. They do this wrong. They do that wrong. And I think to some extent that's true. But I also am trying to, like, think right now. There are places that bus homeless people to L.A.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and is that fair to them? I don't know. I mean, that gets into a whole nother discussion. But they are at least allowing them there. I mean, there's some cities that'll just completely ban them, right? And that's why you go, like, on one side of the street, it's packed with homeless people. And on the other side, there's no homeless people. They outlaw it and they kick them out. I mean, I don't want to dive into the homeless situation right now, but when you allow that kind of population growth, there's going to be problems, and I don't want to pin everything on them because that's a really tough situation to try and deal with, and you are going to need more control with those individuals, you know?
No, I definitely but
that's,
understand that.
Man, that's a deep one. I don't know. I need to educate myself.
Yeah, that's a black hole. California is the big old black hole.
That's another episode.
Yeah, that's a whole, like, 5-hour special. Like, yeah. Problems with California.
We're here to solve. With no
education. with zero education. But I think that's one reason why I started this podcast and named it The Uneducated Goon, was because I didn't want to seem like I'm this upper person with all this knowledge and all this wisdom, because I'm not. I'm the same. Me and you have kind of the same mentality and the same idea with things.
Right.
But we're just your regular average dudes that are literally living through day to day.
So here's a question.
Yeah.
This whole, can we handle the consequences of a free society? TSA, if you ask the average person, I think you'd say that if you took them away, it would make air travel more, quote unquote, more free and easier, less stressful, less less of a hassle, all those things. So that would be a more free society.
Right.
Could we handle stripping TSA away? I mean, granted, we haven't had a 9/11 style attack since they've really stepped up their game. I mean, you got to applaud them to some degree for that. I mean, there's all kinds of studies that they miss guns, this, that, and the other. But they do catch stuff, right?
Absolutely.
So applaud them. I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. But could we handle, as the American people, could we handle pulling that away to encourage more free travel?
Mm. That's a hard one, because if you look at, the TSA is a direct reflection of probably why we don't have those attacks, And I'd have to see the stats of how many attacks they have thwarted over the years.
Right.
But if you were to strip that all away, that would be a scary thing for Americans, just because 9/11 sits so close to us. I don't think anybody would be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In all seriousness, you're absolutely right. It would be a more free society. And the consequences of that could possibly be another hijacking and another bombing, another 9/11.
So that's what we have to grapple with, is everybody complains about that, right? You go to the airport, everybody is huffing and puffing, and that's why half these dudes hate their job, I imagine, and they're sometimes tough to deal with, because they deal with these people all day, day in, day out. They hate them. It's like this villain, and we brand them as that. And I don't think that's necessarily fair, because they're doing what we set up as society to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're protecting us from that attack. If we want to get rid of them, we have to be okay with the possibility of somebody hijacking an airplane.
I mean...
Right? That's kind of the way I'm working it through my head right now.
Yeah. No, I would agree. But I would honestly say leave that security measure there, and that I don't believe your travel is getting any more, red tape if you just don't take a plane. There are
I'm behind you. Try me again with that.
Don't. Okay. So if you want, if you want to keep a free society on an even keel and keep the TSA,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe it's an infringement on it.
Okay.
Because of how many avenues that you have to travel.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
That's how capitalism works. If you don't want to go through TSA, don't fly.
But it would make flying easier.
It would make flying easier. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but...
But we've all agreed, begrudgingly or not, right, that we want them.
Yes.
And we hired them and we employ them and we pay their salary, well, most of the time, except when the government shuts down.
Yeah. But I guess now I could think about socializing airfare, socializing air travel.
What do you mean by that?
Literally giving it to the government, not even...
Having a government-run airline.
Yeah.
That sounds like a...
a crap show. Or it could be the greatest thing that I've
ever... Explain to me how you see it being great.
I don't see it. I was just saying it could be a possibility. But when I traveled with the military, it was... We chartered somebody, you know.
Omni-Air?
I think it was a Vela Air.
Okay.
But we would charter people a lot. So I don't even know how... A government airline.
You just walked on, right?
I guess C-130s would be a government airline, and those things suck.
Was your departure on time, and was your arrival on time?
No, no. Actually, no. The charters were always on time.
Then they're on par with Spirit and Spirit and Frontier.
Yeah. They're doing extremely well. And I just thought that, like, that was a pretty good suggestion. But no, I don't think that would be a great idea to socialize. Airfare or air travel.
Yeah.
That's pretty dumb, in my opinion.
I don't think that would work very well either. When they can figure out how to get a website up and running on day one, right? Then we can talk.
Dude. Sorry. No, I hear you there. But I kind of want to go back to the Second Amendment thing, because I don't think we smacked on it enough. We kind of started off with mass shootings. And one point that I wanted to bring was this, I think the Parkland shooter, right? And it was
that was a pivotal one. That one.
Yeah, and
that
David
was different.
Hogg.
Yeah.
Kind of forefronted this whole movement that the government needs to do something.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
So then the government did something. Do you remember what they did? They made them all wear clear backpacks. Get checked at the door, and there was pat downs.
What was that? Local government? Who enforced
that? Was federal.
Federal.
Yeah. They actually got federal to come in and do that. I think they use local law enforcement to do all these things, but it was required that they had to all wear clear backpacks, and
that's a good way to start. Yeah,
and the students were outraged, and I just thought that was so insane. And this is what you're calling for. You're calling for
more security,
because to say that, oh, we just need a weapons ban, yeah, that's really nice when you write it down on paper. But how are you going to get all of them?
Okay. Now, in fairness, let's theoretically say we could strip every American across the board, all the guns gone. They didn't work, whatever, instantly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They wouldn't need clear backpacks, right? I'm just saying that's the way some people see it.
That's the way they think.
No guns,
well,
no problem.
We're not going to need clear backpacks.
Right.
But in all reality, if you talk to somebody who's in security and who's a professional at security, he has so many tertiary plans and so many secondary plans and so many preventative measures that whether those guns are gone or not, you're wearing a clear backpack. Because it's my job to secure you at this point.
There's knives then. Well, weapon one was a rock. Right?
Right.
So I see your point there, but I'm also trying to... I'm not advocating their point, but I'm also saying that's what they're saying is if we get rid of all guns, then we're safe. Which that in of itself is... pretty crazy. I mean, there's just so many guns.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no possible way, man, that...
Yeah, even if we all agreed that we wanted to get rid of them.
Yeah.
That's a monumental task.
They would still be around. And that would... It would... Yeah, like you said, it would still be extremely hard, even if we all agreed that they should go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be an extremely hard task, but right now you have like 50 to 60% of the country that says no. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
And I bet you at least 2 or 3% maybe even less than 1%, are on the fringe enough to where they are going to fight, and they're going to fight against it.
Right.
And that's all you need. Look at, that's crazy that I said 2 or 3%, because 3%, look at the American Revolution, that's all it took, you know, to start something, to start a revolution. So even with that small of the population that is willing to go down to their grave, and you got a huge problem. You got a civil war.
Right. So you're a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the classroom.
Yeah.
You face this every day. Well, you don't go to class Saturday, Sunday, but you face this. What have you thought through? What's going through your head? Are you okay with guns? Are you advocating one way or another? You face this risk every day. So you're living in a free world where you can go down to Dick's, well, maybe not Dick's Sporting Good anymore, but you can go down to any outdoor store, right, and buy a gun. Mm-hmm. That's a huge freedom.
Yeah.
Huge freedom. That's the freedom that you get, but what you're sacrificing is some of that security then maybe at a school. Where are you at with that? What's gone through your head?
Honestly, I wish I had more of an opportunity to carry a weapon.
Interesting.
Yeah, we talked about this during a teacher's conference, and I think he was an FBI dude, came in and talked to us about security and talked to us about this, and I raised my hand and I asked what I can do, and as being prior military.
You've had a fair amount of training for
absolutely
this very situation, so you seem like a prime candidate to pack.
Yes, yeah. And he pretty much kind of made it clear that there wasn't a lot that I could do. Now, if they...
Is it
they
still did, to pick up your book and throw it at the guy? Because that, I mean...
We haven't even gone through procedures.
What?
Some of the procedures that I've been told is literally to go to the corner of the room, like away from the door and out of sight. And I saw, and it was a horrific video. I wish I never watched it, but I wanted to watch it. It was the New Zealand shooting at that mosque.
Mm.
And that's exactly what the people did. There was two crowds of people. He walked through the door, he looks to his left, and he looks to his right, and there's two crowds of people. And all he had to do was shoot into them. And
it was terrible.
It was less than a minute. And
oh my goodness.
All those people were dead.
Right. You're literally corralling the sheep into a corner, into
absolutely
their bed. Oh my goodness.
That's what they're teaching you? Yes. That's what is being taught.
Procedure. Oh my goodness.
Now I don't know what my school's procedure really is. Nobody's really talked about it or given me any kind of...
So there's a massive lack of education going on.
Well, nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what to do.
So an education institution has no education on this. I mean, look.
I mean, the only way these things have been
there?
Thwarted. Yeah, I know.
Okay, all right.
The only way these things have been thwarted was a security guard at the school that stopped them before he could get in, or those guys at the church that ran out with their AR-15s and shot and killed
the dude. What church was that at?
I forget. It was a couple years back.
Oh, in Texas?
Yeah, it was Texas.
I remember. I remember.
Yeah, and some people chased him down and killed him.
Yeah.
But as far as procedure goes, what do you do in a square space in a somewhat urban environment except fight? So I can get where they're coming from with throwing the books and throwing the desk and trying.
Right.
Because anything that flusters any shooter, that is, because you got to think about the adrenaline that's going through their veins and everything that's going. If this dude's coming in calm, cool, and collected and just shooting to shoot, that guy's pretty sick. And,
Right.
But if you can fluster him in
any
kind of way.
They all are sick, though.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, yeah.
But as soon as their plan takes a turn.
Right.
And as soon as it doesn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out,
right?
You know, you have a window of opportunity. But
right.
What they were saying as far as if I did carry a gun, you have to carry the responsibility of leaving your students in the classroom as you go and hunt for this dude.
But, okay, what if you don't even need to do that? I mean, let's say we arm all the teachers. Not all of them are qualified. I get some of them aren't going to want to and everything. Why can't you at least stay with the ones in your classroom and defend them? I'm not saying you need to go hunt for this guy, but you could still at least defend them.
Yeah. That's, and this is where it comes to a tactical question. Because honestly, I think you should go hunt for the guy.
I get where you're coming from.
You don't know
if
it's one. No, it's really not, though. It's really not, though.
But do you see some of these teachers? A lot of time, a teacher is a female, right? I guess I don't know what a percentage would be, yeah. But a lot of females, right? In your profession, they're not going to think necessarily that way. Well, I'm sure some of them would. But not all of them are like, I'm going to go hunt this guy down.
Yeah, but armed guards.
Right. But I'm saying you're a special case scenario.
Yeah, at a private school. Right.
Most of the teachers, I would take a hunch, are going to stay in the classroom and at least be able to defend or attempt to defend.
And that's okay. I don't think anybody should be charged with the duty to go hunt a shooter down. It's purely from a tactical perspective.
Right.
That's what I would do.
It just keeps ringing in my head, though. I mean, there's the saying, don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
Well, now it's don't bring a book to a gunfight. I mean, the best thing you have in your classroom is a book. And now it's an iPad, right? I mean, you're still getting rid of textbooks.
Yeah.
So you're going to huck an iPad at a guy with a gun, probably an assault rifle, right?
Right.
We need to go down the assault rifle tangent at some point and talk about that, right? The branding of that. But you're not allowed to defend yourself. Is that right?
I'd say no. I mean, you should absolutely...
And is that a policy of... I guess we need to be careful because we don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but is that a school policy? Is that a state policy? Are you following... What law are you falling under where you can't take proper procedures to defend yourself and your kids?
I think it's a combination between state and school.
Okay.
State and insurance. State and insurance puts up a lot of red tape before you can arm a teacher, you know? And that makes it really hard for the school to find somebody who they're willing to trust to arm that teacher.
Yeah.
And
this is a weird discussion. I mean, can you just take yourself out of this conversation right now and what we're talking about?
Yeah, and
it's so weird.
And I don't want to normalize
this place in society. Yeah.
And I don't want to normalize a school shooting. That's not what I'm saying, that we need a free society. I'm simply saying that these people exist, and they're going to do it. But how much control do we have over it?
Well, we could at least let you defend yourself.
And those are those small things that we can do.
Right.
But making those huge, drastic claims that all guns are going to go and this is going to be solved... It's ridiculous.
So here's a good story, I think.
Okay.
I know of an individual, I'll keep names out of it, but worked at an establishment in Kansas. And they went ahead and put up a few years ago. They went ahead and put up the no guns, they went through all this and everything. Well, then it turned out, I guess it was Kansas State made the decision. You need to research it to understand it fully. Mm-hmm. But this is my memory serving me here. Kansas came back and said, okay, well, any establishment that says no guns on the property, they're responsible then. So if you're shot at work or going out to eat or in a movie theater, and that establishment said you can't arm yourself here and defend yourself, then that establishment is held liable.
Wow.
I think that's interesting.
That is interesting. And it makes sense in a way.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
At least being able to, if you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to, arm yourself and defend yourself.
Yes.
That seems like a pretty basic right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, and that's
an interesting discussion.
There's a reason why it's, why the founders of our nation say that it's a God-given right. And I just don't see the general population being okay with that. And I really do believe, their need for control is so basic and so primal. It's history just kind of rolling the dice, or not rolling the dice, rolling through the motions once again.
Yeah.
Rhyming once again. So
if we were able to get rid of all the guns tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
what do you think the chances are that the weapon would just change?
Oh, 100%. 100% the weapon would just change. People would still kill each other. You know, if you can't go into every neighborhood that's decent and say, yup, this is America. This is pretty nice here. Everything's really good. The grass is cut. You've never been to places that were like Bennett, Colorado when I was growing up. It was just kind of nasty. And places like Aurora, where things are getting rough. And even in Denver, things are getting rough. And you go through so many individual... This is what people tend to forget, is the control of the individual themselves is completely taken out of calculating these, this legislation and just throwing it into effect. It's all on an individual basis. Like, we are all responsible for our own actions.
Right.
We are all responsible for our own freedom, because nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about you. And you're thinking the government or some dude, some politician that's just trying to get votes really gives two craps about you?
Right.
No.
Right.
The only person that cares about me is me. All right? And the only person that's responsible for my family's welfare and my family's protection is me. Right. And that's how I want to keep it. I don't want somebody telling me that because I'm giving up my gun, it's making the state or the nation more safe. I want to make my community more safe. Me, personally.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to do that for me.
Right.
And people tend to forget that their safety is not based on the nation's safety. Their safety is based on literally their environment. People are so sucked into their freaking phones and just looking at, yeah, and nobody has any sense of community. So I can't go outside and look at my neighbor and shake his hand and trust him right off the bat. And that's on me. That's my fault. I'm not a neighborly person. I don't want to talk to my neighbors. So I'm being a hypocrite right now. But
hypocrite bell again.
Yeah, hypocrite bell.
Jump on that train.
But that's the problem with our communities. Not even our society. It's literally a community problem.
Yeah.
People think, oh, I'm in America. That's all they see it. I'm in America, and so if the American nation is safe, that means I'm safe. Well, sir, actually, it doesn't, because you don't know what's two blocks away. And I felt like
that is interesting. All these shooters are local. They're not like traveling across the country. Well, I guess there was that one instance, but they didn't get to the point of being able to shoot. They
right.
got thwarted before that. But yeah, they're all local.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be treated at a local level, maybe partially.
Treated, yes, but governed, no. This can't be governed at a local level.
Yeah.
But to be treated at a local level, to where communities are talking to each other, communication is the biggest piece. We have the fastest communication the world in history has
yep.
ever seen.
Yep.
But we don't know how to knock on somebody's door right next to us and talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
So we understand how valuable communication is, but when we do it on such a broad spectrum,
we have lost
that ability to communicate.
That's good. You're right. You're so right.
And that's...
We're going to have to turn that around if we want to make some solid progress.
And it all starts with the individual.
Right.
People think that this is a hard thing to turn around. It literally starts with one person in the neighborhood and getting another person on board. It's the most basic form of pay it forward.
Right.
You know,
and caring, and knock on the door and not have some kind of a complaint with your neighbor or something. It's me walking over to my neighbor and like genuinely caring about him, his well-being.
Now, we didn't have this problem when we had the whole epidemic of serial killers and serial rapists. You know, if you look at the 60s through all the way through the 90s, there is just that not large epidemic, but very broad streamed, daylighted epidemic of these killers that came out. And people definitely for sure wanted to protect themselves. People were strapped and ready. Well, they weren't ready, but this is, and they realized that this was in our community and we need to look out for us.
It's a good reminder. I need to do a lot better about that. I don't know my neighbors as well as I should, you know?
And if you look at the people of Georgia during, I forget what years they were, but when they had that kid killer on the loose and the dude could have been two possible killers, but multiple killers. But there was like 29 kids dead. I could be wrong. Could be wrong.
Was it? Wow.
But it's either more. It's 29 or more.
Wow.
But this kid or this guy would kill kids. And the community was so fed up with it, they didn't even care what the government said after a while. They started doing their own thing. And they started looking through their community and helping out resources like local law enforcement and
the case was solved and justice was
served. Case, okay, this was the messed up part. They caught a guy and charged him with, I think, 2 of the murders. And he probably committed more, but they closed the case after that because they caught the guy, and they were able to at least charge him with those 2 murders. But there were still multiple...
Wow.
Now, I don't know as far as, like, how far it's gotten solved. This is just something that I've studied after watching a freaking TV show. Like,
quit the TV shows and go meet your neighbors, dude.
Yeah. that's what I really need to do. But,
That's a good thought. I like that. I need to do, I need to better about that.
Absolutely.
Meet your neighbors and get to know them.
Well, I'm pretty pleased with where we're at, and I gotta be somewhere. So I think it's time to wrap things up. Yeah.
I appreciate your perspective and insight on that. That's it's a good reminder.
I appreciate you doing this with me.
Get off my phone and get out in the real world. Go shake some hands.
Yep. Get off the couch.
Put some genuine love back into the community, right? Like, genuinely care about somebody.
Absolutely.
Not just that, hey, how are you? Oh, good. See ya.
Yeah, it goes a long way when you can actually show how much you care.
Yeah.
And it only takes a look, a glance, a hello, and showing how much you care.
Good one. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. All right, that was episode 2, and have a wonderful evening.